Pensacola's first choice for morning news, traffic, sports, and talk. The Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. Good morning, Pensacola.
They call me the breeze. I keep blowing down.
Here on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Good to have you with us. If you're driving in the rain, be careful. If you're stuck on Avalon, I'm sorry. If you're stuck anywhere else, like on US 29 or, I don't know, anywhere you might be stuck this morning, just, you know, sorry. I wish it could be better. But the good news is we get to hang out together a little bit more, right? I mean, I'd still rather you get to work quicker. Joining us now, we have Lisa Newell. She is the publisher at the Gulf Breeze News. Lisa, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News.
It's kind of rainy out here today.
Yeah, a bit of a bummer day, especially after yesterday that was so awesome. But I know, you know, those of us who like a green lawn, I guess we'll take it. What's in the paper today? What's going on in Gulf Breeze? You've got a story about the Rockers building?
The Eckerd building. I may have mistyped there.
I'm looking at the text. I'm like, I don't know what that is, but okay.
Yes, once upon a time, before CVS bought Eckerd, there was a completely self-standing Eckerd building right across from the hospital under the high school. And right now it has a Subway in it, mm-hmm. Subway restaurant. And for years, the city has been trying to attract someone to go into that building and occupy it as a tenant. And they really focus primarily on a medical to kind of complement some of the other medical that we have here in the area. But they have not been successful. So now there is a new developer who approached the city council and said that he was probably going to tear it down, but wanted the city to share in some of the cost of the demolition and other costs to attract what he says are some new fast casual restaurants that he's talking to, similar to Panera Bread, like you would, you know, not a drive-through place, but a sit-down place with, you know, you do most of your serving yourself. And so he's looking at something like that. Of course, first one that comes to my mind, and he did not say this, but I was thinking Chipotle or mm-hmm. something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So he is partnering with the city, or trying to. The city did not vote on it. They're going to reconsider it at their next meeting. But that's kind of exciting because, you know, no empty retail is not really, you know, nice presentation for the city.
Yeah, we're just talking about this with Sam Abel on Tuesday, and yeah, that's such a prominent location. It's a shame that we can't get something usable in there instead of an empty building with a Subway attached to the side of it. You've also got a story about new revenue streams. Is that right?
Right. So the county is looking at different ways to increase revenue, and of course they don't want to raise the ad valorem taxes because they feel that property owners are already very, you know, big brunt. So they are looking at these sneaky ways to get you with communication taxes and things like that, so that your Gulf Power, they may actually charge Gulf Power for the use of some of the easements they're currently using for free. Of course, they expect Gulf Power will pass that along to consumers.
Good grief.
So there's one revenue stream there, which is a very back way of raising taxes on people, because it's not really the county, but they expect the Gulf Power will charge the county.
Yeah, I don't really care whether I pay you $100 more in my property taxes or $100 more over the year in Gulf Power because of an indirect assessment based on a revenue stream created for easement maintenance or something. I mean, it's $100. I don't care who it comes from. It's still a tax increase.
That's exactly right. I mean, it may not be that you're going to the county and you may be mad at Gulf Power, but that's what the situation is. And then looking at, you know, your cell phone bill and your cable bill and internet bill, all that stuff could be subject to increases. But at this point, they're just discussing it.
Okay.
That's all they're doing at this moment. Yeah.
I would expect some pushback on something like this. We'll see.
There may be some. Yeah, there may be some. The trade-off, of course, is, you know, you get some of those things that you want the county to do.
Sure.
So, what, you know, whatever. Now, Tiger Point, very exciting. The golf course out there, as you know, has been owned by the city. They sold it to a new development group.
Right.
And we have a nice article in there about what they're planning to do. And, you know, everyone that plays Tiger Point says, you know, it's one of the most beautiful courses. And some of the courses are really spectacular and have a really beautiful feel. And what they're trying to do is take that beautiful feel that some of the courses have more than others and kind of spread it around so that all of the holes are spectacular. So we have a really nice article on some of their plans.
Okay.
For the Tiger Point Golf Course. And they're really trying to make it more of a destination. Again, they said that, you know, most golfers know Tiger Point, and it's got a good reputation, but they're trying to bring it back to that level where, you know, it's a must play for all golfers.
Maybe, right? It probably won't, but maybe this will help assuage some of the frustration that the folks in that vicinity had over the whole deal and the loss of the other 18 holes. You know, maybe in the long term, maybe they'll be happy about that. You guys also have a story about the bridge, right, which is just always, there's always something.
We are all just holding our breath waiting for the bridge to open. Doug Broxton, our senator, did tour the facility, and he says that he feels optimistic that they are going to open it in May. So we hope he is right. But, of course, we're all waiting because we've been there before and had our hearts broken. So we're hoping that is the case.
Yeah, I know you and I have talked about this so many times, but I'm definitely on the when I'm driving on it is when it's open is kind of my view. Hey, just quick question for you, Lisa. I know it's not in the paper or anything, but you know, my wife and I go biking every weekend, and we're now into Tiger Point, Gulf Breeze, Oriole Beach. That's kind of the area that we're doing right now. I had never seen the club, the facility there. Oh, that's just heartbreaking, though. Like, I knew it had been closed for a while, and I know you guys had a really good article on this a couple years ago about an effort to try to, you know, resuscitate, renovate that. That's just, I mean, it's awful to think about what's available as a possibility with that structure and all of the stuff they have, and it's just not in use. I mean, it's just, it's awful.
It truly is awful, and that is, it's a diamond in the rough, but, you know, now it's in such disrepair that people just don't want to take it on.
Yeah.
Because it has been. And we're talking about a facility that has an Olympic-sized pool. It was a fitness facility. It had beautiful tennis courts and children's programs. It was, you know, in its heyday, it had Sacred Heart had a place there for rehabilitation.
Uh-huh.
It had a little, you know, eatery in there. It was a really amazing place, and unfortunately, it has fallen into such disrepair that it nearly would cost more than the purchase price to get it up to speed.
Yeah.
So that's the problem. We've had a lot of people looking at it over the years, but it has just been allowed to deteriorate at this point. It is still bank-owned.
And it's extra.
You know, people have broken into. It's been vandalized. It's a mess.
I believe it. And it's especially poignant because Gulf Breeze, you know, no pool, and with the bridge out, I hadn't been thinking about that, but what are they doing for swimming? I mean, are they just swimming in the... I mean, what are they doing? Do you even know?
What are they? Who?
The dolphins for their swim practice. Like, obviously, they can't use the club for a while now, but, you know, it's just with the bridge out, they can't... I mean, going to Pensacola doesn't really seem like much of an option either.
I think at one point they were using the pool down at Holly by the Sea. But I don't think that was a permanent position, and I don't know what else they're doing. So
okay.
I really have lost contact with that, but I do think that they were using Holly by the Sea for a while as a temporary stopgap, but I don't know what they're doing. And the swim team did really have a push to try to buy the club,
right?
Try to raise money, and it's kind of fallen. It's kind of fallen away. I haven't heard much more about it.
Yeah, well, I was just curious because I know you keep close track on all this stuff, and I thought you might know. And yeah, that's just anyway. When I saw it, that's what it reminded me of, is all of the effort to get something and. All right. Well, the Gulf Breeze News available every Thursday and always has great stuff for folks in Gulf Breeze and around the community. And Lisa Newell, she is the publisher. Lisa, as always, thanks for the information. We'll talk to you next Thursday.
All right. You have a great week.
You bet. 818 on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. Davis Allen, time for traffic.
So, yeah, going northbound Avalon Boulevard, we're seeing some delays backed up around Tuscarora Trail. Then there's a gap until you get to that light at Avalon and Garcon Point Road. Northbound traffic backed up all the way into Highway 98. Once you get through that light, I would recommend staying on Avalon Boulevard because it does look like that northern span heading towards I-10 is clearing up. Southbound is flowing smoothly along Avalon. However, once you get on the bridge, it is looking a little slow moving going into Gulf Breeze. I-10, I-110, all checking in clear. And if you're on Highway 90 in East Milton, it's a little slow moving trying to get into downtown Milton, backed up almost to Ward Basin Road. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
You know, I talk to you all the time about Christina Leavenworth, her team at Leavenrinke Realty, how many homes they sell. And it is a little bit kind of like, wow, they do amazing work. But even recently with the hot market, right, it's, you know, it's hard to find good homes. She has had historically a promise that says if we agree about a price on your home, and if your home qualifies, not every home does, but if we agree about a price, I'll promise to sell it in 30 days guaranteed. She's recently increased the offer. Here's the new offer. You ready for this? This is kind of amazing. 14 days, if your home qualifies, not every home does, if your home qualifies and we agree about a price, 14 days or I'll pay you $5,000. Wow. And you know what she tells me? That she doesn't have to pay because they're selling homes in a day, 2 days, under 7 days, almost every single time. So if you're interested or if you just don't even know, like what could your home fetch if you put it on the market, give her a call, find out. At least then you'll have the information to make a good decision, right? Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty, 723-9158, 723-9158. Good morning, 822 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Bunch of storms in our area. Nothing all that terrible right in Escambia and Santa Rosa County, although we are kind of in the thick of the red, just moving to our east now. It should get a little bit lighter as we go through the next couple of hours, but offshore is a mess. So this is not a boating day. That's what I would say. Lightning, some rotation even, maybe 20 miles off the shore, something like that. So, you know, this is not a boating morning, okay? 822, Mark Jacobs in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. Mark?
The trial of Derek Chauvin picking back up with day 9 of testimony. Yesterday, jurors heard from 3 scientists about George Floyd's drug use, one saying she found no drugs during a search of his SUV, but a second search 7 months later turned up a couple of pills used to treat opioid addiction. No date set yet on when the 2,500 U.S. troops in Iraq will be leaving. They were deployed to help fight ISIS. The mission is now changing. They'll be training and advising the country's military. U.S. and Iraq agreeing to withdraw troops after a third round of talks yesterday. And this morning, a Texas woman has broken a record that she set. And this is from a department that I would call the department.
Okay, I'm ready. I'm braced.
Ayanna Williams first set the record for longest fingernails on a pair of hands back in 2017 at 226.9 inches.
Wow.
She has surpassed herself. They now measure 288.8 inches for the new Guinness World Record. She's cutting them off now. First time she's cut her nails in 30 years. They will go on display at Ripley's Believe It or Not Orlando Auditorium.
Now, okay, I got to ask, just for clarification,
yes.
288 inches is 24 feet, right?
Right.
If I'm doing that math right. Now, is that collective across fingernails?
That's collectively an average of 2 feet per fingernail.
That's still, wow. How do you function?
Yeah,
you know, how do you eat, like, popcorn?
You can't move your hands, right? They're
no.
just there.
Okay. All right. So, you know, people do their stuff.
Okay.
820. Yeah, exactly. That's just kind of, if the point is, maybe her whole livelihood is showing off her fingernails. You know, maybe that's how she makes a living somehow or other. I don't know how you monetize that exactly, except at a circus. But
imagine paying for a manicure. It's just
plus, I gotta wonder about the measurement. I mean, it's hard to measure something that's curved like that, you know, and get an accurate count, right? I mean, just saying, it's tricky mathematically. 825 on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. Davis Allen has traffic on the fives.
So I have a report of a minor accident. It is minor and seeing minor delays, but this is as you are getting off the southbound direction of the Highway 90 Causeway. This is right there near that Wood Spring Suites and also near the east entrance of the University of West Florida. So just keep that in mind. Going northbound on Avalon, it appears to be checking in clear as you are getting past that light on Avalon and Garcon Point Road, but the northbound span of Garcon Point Bridge still showing some delays. Southbound also delayed, southbound along Avalon flowing smoothly. And taking a look at Highway 29 southbound, minor delays to report between 9 Mile and I-10. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
So when you got into business, if you started your company, you thought, I can do really good auto repair work, or I can provide IT services really, really well, or you know, I think I can do better than anybody else at repairing air conditioning and heating units. Great. And you probably are great at it. But are you also great at doing payroll? and figuring out which benefits, dental, vision, life, et cetera, are the best for your employees. Well, okay, maybe you are. But most of the business owners that I know, they kind of hate that stuff. Like, you look at that as an impediment to you doing what you're good at. Well, that's why Torgerson Causey exists. Because they actually like that stuff. The way you think about what you do, they think about the stuff you hate to do in doing what you do. And they want to help. They want to help you. They want to give your employees options. They want to make things simpler for you, maybe save you some money. At the very least, take some of that headache stress off your plate so that you don't have to worry about that stuff anymore. They've been serving local businesses for more than 20 years, and they'll do a free review, a no-obligation review of your program. Just have them come in and look at what you're doing and see if they can't save you some money or give you some options or whatever. We use them here at News Radio. Started about, I don't know, 5 or 6 months ago, something like that, and they gave us options, which is good. 433-9996 for Torgerson Causey, or check them out online at tcbenefitsgroup.com. I thought it was kind of cute. I actually saw it on Jimmy Kimmel, who, of course, was treating it with great contempt and disrespect, but I still thought it was kind of adorable. Donald Trump Jr., who we haven't heard a lot from recently, obviously, and Kim Guilfoyle, who... engaged girlfriend? I forget what their status is right now. But they were just talking about... He was talking mostly about Easter egg hunts as kids in the Trump household.
In the Trump family, the Easter egg hunt is really competitive.
It's vicious.
I remember knockout, drag-out fights with Ivanka, especially, you know, back in the day. Because I may have, you know, gotten on the security camera system and figured out where they hid the proverbial golden egg. So I got... When she found out what I did, it was brutal. But you'd probably expect nothing less. You had a lot of kind of alpha personalities in there.
That, honestly, that fits 100% of what I would expect from them as kids. Like, squabbling, bickering, fighting, competing, doing everything they can, including using the security camera secret footage to figure out where the good... I mean, just, I don't know, cracked me up when I heard it. I thought I'd share it with you. Mark Jacobs, what do you got coming up, sir?
An alleged hit-and-run driver has turned himself in a deadly accident. Story after... Your money now. The stock market is open this morning, and the Dow is starting the day down 58 points, 33,388. The NASDAQ is up 121 points at 13,808, while the S&P is up 10 points at 4,090. First-time claims for unemployment benefits rose to 744,000 last week. That's 16,000 more than the previous week. Analysts had expected about 670,000. No set date for the return of Broadway, but tickets are on sale for some shows. Sales start September 7th for musicals like Jagged Little Pill, Ain't Too Proud, and The Life and Times of the Temptations. One musical, Chicago, has sales starting August 2nd. Broadway's been shut since mid-March of last year. Oil prices falling after U.S. gas inventory surged unexpectedly. International benchmark Brent crude down 31 cents a barrel. West Texas Intermediates down 47. Our next news at 9 with breaking news anytime. I'm Mark Jacobs.
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
I admire your deductive processes.
Ooh, yeah. I'm going to have to go ahead and sort of disagree with you there.
Oh, idiot.
Food fight!
Gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is the war room.
This conversation can serve no purpose anymore. Goodbye.
All right, I'm going to tell you in advance. Today's topic is a little bit on the gross side. But, you know, it's pretty much universal human stuff. So... stick with me and see if you don't find this entertaining. Mark told you about 10 minutes ago about this woman who broke her own world record by having 288 inches of fingernails that she's now going to cut off, right? And it's kind of hard to imagine anybody with, what did we say that was, 24 feet, something like that, of continuous fingernails across her 10 fingers. But it got me to thinking, you know, we all have fingernails, they all grow. You know, the alternative is bad, okay? But we all have fingernails, they all grow. And everybody's got a fingernail management strategy. Or maybe you call it a bad habit, which also can lead to other people having a pet peeve about it, right? So 437-1620, 437-1620. If you had to say, what's your way? Or maybe what's the best way, which is, you know, a lot of times you say the same thing. What's your fingernail management strategy? Are you clip them? Are you pick them? Or are you, and you know the third option here, chew them. 437-1620. 437-1620. Fingernails, clip, pick, or chew. Now, if you're a manicure person, I mean, I guess that falls in the clip category, you know, clip and file and take care of. I don't have a lot of time for you, but I mean, good for you. You know, it's wonderful if you like that kind of stuff. I've never in my entire life had that done. I'm not judging if you do, if especially if you're a guy. I'm just saying I've never experienced it. Maybe I don't know what I'm missing out. It's possible. 437-1620. What's your fingernail strategy? Clip, pick, or two? Davis?
So, growing up, I always had the worst habit of biting my nails.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think like many kids. My dad was always on me about quitting. And finally, one day, I just said, enough. I was 22, and I said, enough. And I'm 27 now. To this day, I don't bite my nails.
What's your alternative?
However, I still have like that nervous tick in a way where I want to.
You want it?
So I like pick at my nails, but I don't like pick and peel
them off.
I go along the edge of my nails.
You're like filing them gently with another fingernail.
In a way. Then I always have a nail file nearby. When they get a little long, you know, I manicure them.
Okay, I got to ask you this. As a person who's never chewed fingernails and never had the inclination to chew it, I have questions. Okay, 437-1620. Okay. Question number one, is it like you chew it hard or do you soften it up a little bit first so it's easier to chew like when you take a shower? Is it just a chew the hard? I've never understood that exactly. Does it make a clicking, crunching sound when you bite into them?
Yes. I mean, of course, imagine when you're younger and you always bite your nails, you pretty much have no nails.
Okay.
Bite.
So that's
you're kind of just like kind of like nibbling in a way, I guess.
Nail nibbler. I love it.
Nail nibbler.
So second question, I assume this produces a bit. You know, there's a piece, there's a fragment. What do you do with that? Tell me you don't swallow them. Because I genuinely don't know. You spit them out on the floor or something?
I always spit.
All right. Because I imagine this accumulation of fingernail bits winding up as an internal medical issue. 437-1620. 437-1620. Somebody says, I file my nails while in traffic on Avalon. Oh, answer of the day. We're done. Do you have any left? I mean, how can you have any left? 437-1620. Clipping and only outside, so that I assume that means that the fragments go. Oh, that is a thing, by the way. When I do clip them, I'm a picker. I am. I pick at my nails all the time. It's terrible. I know it's terrible. Sometimes you pick it and it goes too far and that hurts for a long time when you do it wrong. I know, but I can't stop, or I've never really tried, I should say. But when I do clip them, you're always trying to clip it like over a wastebasket. Man, those things fly everywhere. It's like an impossible thing to figure out how to control the flight path, the arc of a clipped fingernail. 437-1620. So I understand the clipping only outside, but see, I'd be worried like you're going to clip it, then you're going to step on it later. But that gets to the whole, do you walk on, you know, do you wear shoes outside? And, you know, I don't always. So, although we have arguments in my house about whether I should. 437-1620, 437-1620. Somebody texts in, sounds gross. Yep. Yep. Somebody says, let's see, I'm a clipper now, used to bite to try to smooth them out without clipping. It doesn't work, so now the clipper. Oh, I mean, clearly, like, the clipper is the superior strategy. Clip and file, right? I mean, nobody who's a biter, nobody who's a picker would... I mean, nobody would stand up in public, except here I am, and say this is the better way. You know it's inferior. It doesn't matter. There is something, I shall say this, there's something weirdly satisfying about that feel of picking off a nail. It just, I don't know why. And I know for other people, it's like, oh, this is so gross. I get it. I understand. But there is something about it that's like, yes. I know that's weird. 437s. See, here's what happens. We talk about these topics, and you listen for, you know, 6 minutes while we talk about this. And then later on in the day, you're messing with your finger, and I was like, oh. I never thought about that. Let's see. Somebody here says, use my granddaddy's super sharp pocket knife and finish with 400 grit wet or dry sandpaper. That is devotion, man. That is a...
Wow, that's a craft.
Exactly. I mean, you have to go to, like, you know, track technical school for that. That's impressive. With a knife.
That's some Ron Swanson stuff right there.
I love it. 437-1620. Somebody here says, the wife won't let me sleep with long nails. Oh, yeah, I can understand that, too. So there you go. That's our frivolous topic for the day. We just have a little bit of fun. Talk about something. You know, this may not be the one you bring up, but maybe it is. I imagine there's a lot of pet peeves too here. Like people who are clippers find other people who are like pickers or chewers, like it drives you crazy. And vice versa. You know, everybody's kind of got that thing where it kind of, you know, especially in spouses, I assume among spouses, this is an issue. And maybe with the kids trying to train them right. Obviously, I was not trained right in this regard. I have my weird habits. 8:45 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Davis Allen, time for Traffic on the Fives.
I will say the promotional item we ever had here at the station, the nail file.
Oh, the nail file is useful.
I'm holding up a nail file that says News Radio 92.3 on it. So whenever my nails are getting to that point, just run on downstairs to the promotions room, grab a few more, and go to work.
And as a side note, the nail clippers that have the file that you can fold out are by far the better nail clippers. Oh,
those
by far.
Those are great. They don't decompose or anything. I don't know what you want to call it. Either way, they're still useful. Let's take a look at Garcon Point Bridge. Avalon's, by the way, in both directions flowing smoothly. Garcon Point Bridge, northbound, still delayed. Once you get through that toll plaza is where you'll start to flow smoothly once again. Southbound, you're going to be met with some delays as you're getting off the hump. I-10, I-110, though, checking in clear along with the front gate of NES Pensacola. I'm Davis Allen with your Traffic on the Fives.
Do you love your car? It's okay. You can be honest with me. Do you love your car? Like, when you think about getting in your car, and if you're in your car now, you're already in it, right? But, you know, when you think about it, do you think, oh, yeah, or do you think, like, oh, no, right? Because at some point when you bought the car, presumably you had that, oh, yeah, feeling. And now, over time, it kind of, you know, has turned a little bit. Well, if you're in the car longer these days because of the bridge, or just realizing that you're at that point in your relationship with your car, that it's not a healthy relationship anymore, go to Frontier Motors. At least look, you know, see what they have. Because what you might find out is, you know, you can enjoy driving again. You can get yourself into a car that you'll actually look forward to driving, especially if your commute's longer. You won't have to endure your car. And maybe, I cannot promise this, but you might even save money. Because, you know, if you're putting $1,000 6 months, a year, over and over into a car that's really not good to begin with, right? Or you can just have a better car. And maybe it'll be offset. Maybe the payment will be offset by the money you're not wasting on repairing a car that you don't want to have in the first place. Frontier Motors, helping people just like you get into 1-, 2-, 3-year-old cars that are good, you know, low mileage, good condition for the last 25 years, serving the Pensacola community right behind that big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
For, I don't know, the fifth or sixth time since the first time the public's narrative got printed in the newspaper, this pay-to-play narrative. So the reason why I know that to be false is because the decision to use Publix was made in my office in the EOC. That was the recommendation that was developed. It was developed with 10 people in the room in coordination with folks from my office and the Department of Health. We had already been working with CVS and Walgreens in the long-term care program. They were already vaccinating. We were already working with them. There are many articles about that. That's not breaking news. In fact, that program also was running a little bit slow, right? The state had to step in and help out. And so that relationship had existed all the way back to December.
So this is Jared Moskowitz, the Director of Emergency Management for the state, and a Democrat, by the way, well-known as he's a Democrat, but he's very good at his job, and he's working with Governor DeSantis. And responding to this 60 Minutes hit piece yesterday, they did, what did they do, half hour, 45 minutes, something like that, maybe almost an hour, just responding to this nonsense, this really irresponsible piece that 60 Minutes put out, and especially this lingering, ridiculous narrative that somehow Publix campaign donated their way into getting some exclusivity deal, all of which is just ridiculous. But as he says, right, CVS and Walgreens, they wanted to work with them, but they were already occupied taking care of the federal mandate for the long-term care facilities, which the state actually wound up helping with. Then, as far as Publix and getting some sweetheart deal, well, you know, honestly, the feds were too slow, and so they couldn't work with them, and their first choice among private entities was not Publix, it was Walmart.
My first choice was Walmart. I called Walmart first and said, listen, we have some doses. We want to pilot this. We want to pilot it specifically in areas that not just have hesitancy, but where we're seeing shots and arms slowing down. And so we picked some rural areas. We talked about some urban areas. And Walmart said, great, we'd love to partner with you, but we can't start for 21 days. And I said to Walmart, fantastic, we'll get back in touch with you, keep us up to date with the progress.
Okay, so CVS, Walgreens were kind of first, basically, but they were already occupied with long-term care. Then Walmart was not able to quickly adapt and get in there and fill the need. So option after that, Publix.
I then got on the phone with Publix. By the way, this was all done on the speakerphone with 7-8 people in the room. And I said, when can you start? 72 hours. That's it. That's the whole story. There's nothing else. And yet the narrative that has been out there for weeks and weeks and weeks, this is not a new thing that 60 Minutes ran with and that we've been pushing back.
And they've been explaining and clarifying. And he says, I talked to the 60 Minutes people. They did not care. They did not listen.
I talked to 60 Minutes. They were very nice. We talked for a long period of time. But I told them that this public's narrative was malarkey. And they still went with it.
Unbelievable.
But I got to be honest, in the last year, this is not the first time that I've seen this stuff where it's verifiably false and yet it's printed and our rebuttal has to be in the last paragraph with some salacious headline because the narrative still wants to be told.
You've got, I don't know, it's so frustrating. It really is. I honestly, I've been thinking about like, what can I do about this? Because in Florida, I think most people are pretty well informed. You know, certainly you guys are well informed. But I just think that people in California and New Jersey and New York and, you know, they see 60 Minutes. They think it's some venerated news show, which it is. And they think, oh, you know, that Florida, there they are screwing up again. And literally every time I see a national news story about Florida and COVID, they get it wrong. I mean, you know, even some very unlucky person occasionally gets the story right. And so at some point you have to ask, are they getting it wrong because they're too dumb to get it right, or are they getting it wrong on purpose? Of course, Governor DeSantis has his own take.
To suggest, or to not suggest, to assert as a matter of fact that Publix was rewarded with exclusive rights in Palm Beach County is something that even the dimmest bulb in the New York corporate media constellation would be have been able to realize that was false. You literally take 10 minutes to make a few phone calls. 60 Minutes was in Florida for 3 months trying to dig up dirt.
Although, weirdly, you know, I know they're trying to discredit DeSantis long ahead of the next election cycle when they worry, and rightly so, that I think he would trounce Joe Biden in a general election. But, okay, put that aside. This is weirdly praise, because if this nonsense is the best they could come up with in 3 months of journalistic research.
And, you know, Jared and I were talking about it. It's like, OK, they wanted to smear Florida. They wanted to smear our vaccination effort. They obviously wanted to smear me. They spent 3 months and the best they could come up with is a half-baked conspiracy theory that literally is readily debunked by talking to like 2 people. So I think that means we probably did a pretty good job, because if we had done a really bad job, they would have actually had facts that they could have relied on to try to do the hit piece.
And again, you know, I played you earlier in the show. I played you the as played on 60 Minutes and then the as occurred press conference in which he walked her through all of the stuff as it happened. It's embarrassing. I mean, people need to lose their jobs. That's really the only conclusion I can draw here. Davis Allen, time now for a quick shot of sports.
Well, yesterday it was announced that over at Blue Wahoo Stadium, they're doing 98% capacity seating, and essentially it's 100%. The reason why it's not is because the first 2 rows from left field to right field are all going to be closed off. They're creating a quote-unquote buffer zone from the fans to the players. So, without those seats, all the rest can be filled. They are not going to be necessarily doing any kind of social distancing when it comes to seating protocols. However, they do stress that when you're out and about walking, getting food, or going to the restroom, visiting the gift shop, please try your best to do social distancing. But the big thing they're stressing is you must wear a mask if you're not eating and drinking. So those are just some of the rules. And the hope is that by September, we won't be going by these rules anymore, as each month they're going to revisit and see where we're standing. And the cool thing is that it's not just a blanket policy. They're going to allow, Major League Baseball is going to allow local ordinances to determine if you're doing really good, you can be more lenient on your rules. If you're doing really bad, then you can go be more strict on your rules. Major League Baseball is allowing the city of Pensacola to determine what they're going to do on a month-by-month basis. So that's good news there. And the Masters is underway, and I would be lying if I didn't already have it pulled up on my computer. I do. Bubba Watson's teeing off here in about 10 minutes, too, so I'm excited for that. Now, taking that into your traffic, because we do have delays on Garcon Point Bridge still, north and southbound. Taking a look at I-10 and I-110 and Avalon Boulevard, however, all flowing smoothly, and if you're heading onto base this morning, both gates checking in clear. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. Time for future news. Davis and I tell you what's going to happen before it happens. Tonight, City Council, Pensacola, tiny homes, second reading. Will we have tiny homes approved?
I think so.
Yeah, will we start to see tiny home? I don't know, solos or communities is a little bit more likely. Yeah, I think we will see them. How long will this meeting be? There's a lot of like small stuff on the meeting. Not a big, but what do you think?
3 hours.
I'm going to optimistically hope for an hour and a half. That'd be a nice meeting length. Bubba Watson, Masters, is he going to make the cut?
Oh, yeah.
We always hope for a yes. Talked earlier about this with Janice Gillius, Gambia County Administrator. She's kind of been asking FDOT to do what was done in Santa Rosa County at 9 Mile on I-10 to put in an expanded shoulder so that we can have an extra lane to accommodate some of that traffic coming off I-10. Do you think that will actually happen? Do you think we'll actually get that extended turn lane on I-10 and 9 Mile?
Yes, yes.
I hope so. It certainly makes sense to do that. President Biden is set this morning to give a whole bunch of different recommendations on guns. Will he executive order ghost guns out?
No.
I think he'll try to do it for sure. Will he executive order to redefine stabilizers for pistols to recategorize that as a short barrel rifle under the Federal Firearms Act?
Yes.
Yeah, I think he will do that. What about nominating this guy who works with Gabby Gifford's organization and is clearly not a big fan of private ownership of guns to run the ATF?
I think so.
Yeah, and red flag laws for national?
Yes.
Yeah, he'll want that as well.